from Mark chapter 10, verses 46 and 52. Blind Bartimaeus receives his sight. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, that is the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road.
If you would please have your Bibles open to Mark's Gospel in chapter 10. And you also might want to mark up with your fingers or some other way in your Bibles, Luke chapter 18 and Matthew chapter 20. In Luke chapter 9 verse 51 and also Mark 10:32, we read that the time for Jesus to come to the cross had arrived. He sets his face, as Luke's gospel says, like a flint, going towards Jerusalem. He would not be persuaded, in a sense. In a sense, we could say that Jesus himself had perseverance. When everything else might be saying, don't go that way, Jesus continued. He chose the cross, as we sung there. His earthly ministry was about to be completed when he'd be crucified, buried, and rise again. Did you know that the Gospels... Well, Jesus lived for about 33 years, we're told. And as John says, all the books in the Bible, if all the books could be written about Jesus were written, there wouldn't be enough books or a library space for it, because he did so much. And yet, we have the four Gospels. And of the four Gospels, about a third or a quarter of the Gospels are taken up with that last of Christ's life upon this earth, which I believe it shows the importance of that period of time because of what he did for us. The disciples, though they were told time and time again, didn't really take it in. They couldn't quite understand what Jesus was all about. They were still thinking of an earthly kingdom, an earthly physical kingdom, where they would be in power with Christ. But in spite of the difficulties, Jesus would not be turned from the purpose that he came. So we're going to be looking at some people today Jesus met in his last journey in Jerusalem, and some others as well, whose lives were transformed as they believed in Jesus Christ. The first person we're going to meet is Bartimaeus. He is named in Mark's Gospel. And Matthew and Luke also record this event. Now, there are slightly differences in the three accounts. And this might cause us to think, well, are there more than one healings of a blind man like this? Well, they're quite similar. Or some people might think that maybe the Bible is contradicting itself and it can't be reliable. And so perhaps for the first thing, I'm going to look at these difficulties with the three different versions. The one thing to remember, though, when somebody witnesses something, a group of people, they're all going to see something different. They see it from a different angle, or things that of their mind is biased perhaps that way. There was a chap on the market in St. Ives that used to sell shoes. And we were chatting one day, and he said, "Wayne, you know, the first thing I do when I see a person, I look at their shoes." It's the last thing I look at. And I don't know about you, but you probably look at maybe their faces, their personality, their hair, or what have you. But this guy, because he sold shoes, he looked to see what kind of shoes they were wearing and what it was about. No one person gets the whole picture. So with the different Gospels writers, it helps us to get a fuller picture of the whole story. Rather than a contradiction, we could say it's a complementary picture. Maybe like a 3D. But yet there are these differences that might cause us a bit of confusion. Because Luke's gospel says that Jesus was going into Jericho. Matthew said he was leaving Jericho. Mark's gospel said he was leaving Jericho. In Luke's gospel, it says one man called out. He wasn't named. Son of David, have mercy on me. Matthew talks about two men calling out, Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me. These weren't named. Mark's gospel account says there was one man, and he was given the name of Bartimaeus. He was named in this one. In Luke's gospel, we read that Jesus spoke the words, and the man was healed, could see. In Matthew's gospel, it says that Jesus touched them, and they were healed. And Mark's gospel, we read there, where Jesus spoke to Bartimaeus, he just spoke the words, and they were healed. The things that were very much similar was that they all called out, they remembered, Lord, Son of David. And then the words of Jesus, what do you want me to do? And the reply that they all said, we want to see. And then afterwards, every one of them says that they went and followed Jesus. So, was there one man, or were there two? No. Well, first of all, was Jesus going into Jericho, or was he leaving Jericho? Luke said he was healed as he was entering Jerusalem, while Mark and Matthew record that it happened as he left. And though it's often counted as a contradiction within the biblical writings, there are possible answers to the apparent differences. First, it helps us to realize that in the time of Jesus, that there were actually two Jerichos. One was the old mound, the destroyed Jericho. And just a little further on was the Jerusalem where the Jericho where people were living, built supposedly partly by Herod. So a possible answer is that Jesus could have healed the two men as he was leaving the one area and Jesus going into the new area. Another possibility was that while Jesus was approaching Jerusalem, Jericho, the two men called out, but because of the crowd around and all the noise, they didn't hear him. So Jesus stayed the night, as it indicates in the Gospels, and the next morning when he was headed for Jerusalem, when these men knew that he was going there, shouted all the more and would not be let out. again, we don't know, but there's two possible things. Was there just the one man or was there two? In probability, I would say there were two. But only Bartimaeus is named because he was known or seemed to be the main spokesman, or perhaps he was the one that continued to follow Jesus and became a real disciple of Christ. Now, did Jesus speak the words or did he touch the man? Well, we know from the Bible that Jesus used many ways of healing people. Sometimes he spoke, sometimes from a distance, sometimes he touched the people. I think he probably did both. He probably touched them and said, be healed, your faith has made you healed. But the different writers had different aspects, looking at it from a different angle. One was more concerned about the physical touch, where the others were more thinking, well, he spoke the words. That's what was so important. Jill did a great job in making application to the lessons from this passage in your old age talk. And I really appreciate it. It makes my job so much easier. I do appreciate that. Notice that the words there, he called out, Son of David, Lord, Son of David, have mercy upon me. Bartimaeus hadn't seen any of the miracles that Jesus had done. He hadn't seen other blind people made to see. He hadn't seen deaf people hear. He hadn't seen lame people walk. He hadn't seen where Jesus healed and brought people back from the dead. He was blind. So how could he see him? But he had heard what other people had said. And Bartimaeus showed great faith in calling out to Jesus. He said, Son of David, what does that statement mean? It's more than just a title. It's more than a genealogy thing. it's a messianic title. It's when people referred to Jesus as the Son of David, they meant that he was a long-awaited deliverer, the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies. Jesus was addressed more than once as the Son of David by people who were looking for healing and restoration. There was a woman whose daughter was being tormented by a demon. And she called him that, and she wasn't even an Israelite. She was what they would probably call a foreigner. And yet she believed that he was the one. They expressed a sense of his deity, his dominion, power, and calling him the Son of David. Expressed in faith that he was the Messiah. Now, the thing was, the Pharisees knew exactly what the people were saying when they said the Son of David. But unlike those who cried out in faith, the Pharisees were so blinded by their own pride, they couldn't see what the blind beggar man had seen. That here was a Messiah, this one that they had supposedly were waiting for all their lives. Another thing to notice, it was the only opportunity that these men had. They took advantage of that opportunity. They wouldn't be paid off. They persevered. They kept at it. As Joe was talking about, they shouted all the more. They shouted louder. They were going to be determined to hear. Several years ago, a young man at our church in St. Ives that we were in said, he talked to us and he said, I'm going to tell you about two people that you really need in your life. Percy and Vera. And you really need these people. And I thought, what in the world is he talking about? But Bartimaeus had Percy and Vera. Their surname was Vance. And it was a play on the words, perseverance. In our Christian life, we often face difficulties, hindrances, setbacks, opposition, and misunderstanding. But it's by persevering that we overcome it. If we know what is right and what is best, nothing is going to stop us. Bartimaeus had great faith in who Jesus was. He kept at it and would not be put off. Very similar to the persistent widow that Jesus told about in Luke's gospel, where this woman had been treated wrongly. And she went to the judge and cried out to him. The judge wasn't a godly man, didn't care, paid no attention. But because of her persistence, because of her perseverance, he said, oh, all right, I'll take care of it, get rid of her. That's the kind of perseverance they would be. You know, if these men hadn't taken the opportunity when they had it, what would have been the result? They would still be blind. They wouldn't have been healed. Because that was the last time that Jesus went through Jericho. He never went back. What a missed opportunity. If they had said, oh, too much trouble, they won't let us, I'll just give up and sit back. I'll see him another time. It wouldn't have happened. We never know. And we can't guarantee that there will be another time to call on Jesus. Paul says that today is a day. Not tomorrow, but today is a day. If you hear Jesus calling, you've got to do something. Do not put it off, but persevere. And then Jesus asks this question. What do you want me to do? And at first reading, you think, well, that's a stupid thing to ask, isn't it? You know, it's obvious on what to do, but not necessarily. Not necessarily, because probably these men, while they were sitting there begging in the past, had always cried out to people, have mercy on me. I need a drink of water. I need some food. I need a blanket. I need a cushion to make my begging more comfortable. All legitimate things to ask for, isn't it? Is it possible to ask Jesus for far less than what his purpose would be? Jesus did not come into the world to deal with the symptoms of people's alienation of God, or merely cleanse them from their guilt, or even be on hand to answer their questions when they keep asking, you know, asking for prayer requests or things like that. That wasn't his purpose coming. He came to make people complete as God intended them to be when he created them. He came to reconcile us to God, to restore us, to restore his life into human experience. Back in chapter 10, verse 36, where Jesus asked his disciples the same question, what do you want me to do for you? What was their reply? I want to sit on the right, and he wants to sit on the left in your kingdom. How different the two replies were. One spoke in faith, believing that Jesus could really restore, and the others were thinking of something to satisfy their own personal egos, shall we say. Difference of faith. And then we read in every one of the Gospels there that they followed Jesus. It was because of their faith in Jesus the Messiah that they were healed. Jesus commended him, and he received his sight. What a transformation. His outlook was so different. I do not know if he'd always been blind. He might have happened later in life, or he could have been never ever seeing. But I'll tell you what, regardless, things were different for him. Whereas before he couldn't see, but now he could. The whole life, it was completely different. What in the world are you going to do? He was no longer begging for food, clothing, or shelter. He could follow a career, seek his own pleasures that had been denied to him before. But what does he do? He follows Jesus. When Jesus transforms us, our response should be to follow Jesus with all our heart because of what he has done for us. We sang about it in that last hymn. Even if it means taking up the cross and follow Jesus. Question is, today, what is your response to what Jesus has done for you? How much do we appreciate what God has done? How much do we love him? Are we willing to give our all to follow him completely?